Welcome to Blazing Trails, a Salesforce podcast. I'm Sabrina Barakzai, social and content marketer for Salesforce Strategic Events. We're bringing you access to the trailblazing stories we experience and collect at our events around the world. You'll hear from inspirational speakers and the latest game-changing innovations. Learn how to blaze new trails, map your path to the future, and most importantly, be your best. One way to be your best? Subscribe and review Blazing Trails wherever you get your podcasts. We're getting closer and closer to Dreamforce, and we'll be announcing big updates. Don't miss out. This week, we're revisiting Episode 2, Artificial Intelligence. It's no secret that AI is no passing fad. It's here to stay. Let's learn more.
In this episode, we are focused on artificial intelligence, AI. Over the next decade, AI will fundamentally reshape major elements of our lives. The signs of that transformation are already all around us. Amazon recommends your next favorite book. Alexa tells you the weather. AI-driven cars idle next to us on the freeway. And Netflix queues up your evening's TV viewing. At the Salesforce World Tour in London, as part of the Fortune CEO series, I had the chance to sit down with Sultan Mahmood, partner and global AI lead for PwC. We discussed how AI is changing the workforce, helping companies to meet and anticipate customer expectations, and empower business leaders to make better decisions. Take a listen.
Sultan Mahmood, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So we've seen research that 65% of employees see that by 2020, their positions are going to change drastically because of emerging technologies like artificial intelligence. So at that time, what do you see as the war for talent because of artificial intelligence?
Yes, artificial intelligence is impacting roles in quite fundamental ways, and I would describe it in three ways. We call those the three A's. So the first way that it's impacting roles is by assisting people, so we call that the first A. So there are already roles that are being assisted by AI and automation in place now, and that's impacting people because it's taking a lot of the menial work away from them, hopefully making their jobs more interesting. The second way that AI is impacting roles is what we call augmentation. So it's already giving you additional capabilities and insights that you previously might not have had in your role. So giving you a new insight or new information that allows you to do your role more effectively. And the third way it's impacting roles going forward is what we call autonomy. So AI is able to do tasks on its own in an autonomous way. An example of that would be self-driving cars. So all these three A's are really impacting roles going forward.
So speaking to that, what do you think are the key skills that are going to be even more valuable once we see these major shifts?
There's certain skills that AI is quite far away from being able to achieve, and those skills are, for example, empathy, social dialogue, interaction with people. One of the things that we looked at, for example, our research says that whilst 50% of people may be comfortable with using AI in a sort of medical scenario, more than half thought that people skills and empathy and all those things are still important and they still want to deal with people. So those roles are going to be even more important going forward.
So on the flip side, what sorts of roles do you see as becoming redundant?
I would say where activity can be automated and the roles are repetitive and can be done in a manual way, there's a lot of that going on, then those roles and activities can be automated. And we all live in a world where some of the things we do have been automated. I can't remember how I used to do search before Google search came along. So that is an aspect of my role that has already been automated.
All right, so you've spoken before about responsible technology.
Yeah.
Can you go a little bit in depth about what that is and what companies should be looking for in terms of taking technology to the next level and, again, being responsible?
As AI is going to have such a fundamental impact on businesses and on their operating models, it's really important to that when a firm is considering AI, they look at the implications of that from a responsible way, from a society and ethics perspective as well. So, when you build an AI solution and that's interacting with your customers, how do you know you're doing it in a responsible way? How do you know you're making the use of the data that the customers are giving you in a responsible way? Because they're kind of trusting you with their data. How do you build in the assurance in your AI solution so it doesn't start misusing that data or it doesn't start doing things that you didn't kind of expect at the beginning? With the introduction of all that, what do you do about your existing workforce? How do you train them up into new skills Have you considered those? There are some big fundamental questions that both organizations, governments, and society needs to work through over the next few years around the implications of introducing AI and in a responsible and ethical way. And there's, for example, a situation where do you tax robots? How do you pay for society? How do you give people a useful purpose going forward? So all of these things are big, big questions that are being addressed and thought through by various organizations right now.
So another thing that has been discussed before is a very exciting element of customer experience. How do you see customer experience as going to the next level with artificial intelligence?
I use an example of the travel industry. At this point, you can book a holiday, you can book a hotel, and so on. But imagine if that customer experience and that knowledge and intimacy of the customer was so strong, you knew the preferences of the customer, you knew what they like, what they didn't like. AI can be used in all those areas to actually get something specific for you. For example, you might say, I like hotels that got to have swimming pools. So it kind of just, that customer intimacy gives you that ability to really get close to your customer and to really offer them the kind of solutions that are going to meet their needs.
Do you see that additional businesses are viable because of this customer experience new model that AI provides?
Those businesses that are really close to their customer, really understand their customer, provide the best customer experience, are going to be materially more successful, in my view, than those businesses that fail to do that.
All right, so we've talked about a lot of the great things that AI can do, and again, responsible technology. But we find today, you know, we have people recognizing that AI is really the future, but we aren't utilizing it to its capacity at this point. Can you discuss that a little bit more? And how do people recognize that they can use AI right now to make practical business decisions?
There are some organizations that have said, AI is an interesting technology, let's give it to the innovation team and they can go and play with it. But it's actually a fundamental part of your business strategy. The first thing that I would say you need to do as an organization is really understand how AI aligns to your business strategy and how it can support your business strategy delivery objectives. And the second thing that we're finding is that there's a skills gap in the market. Our survey indicates that when we talk to most CEOs, they say, well, actually, we only have 20% of the skills that we need to be able to deliver AI-type solutions. So addressing the skills gap in the market is important. The fourth thing that I say you would need to think about is, how do you build AI in a responsible way? So when you build an AI solution, how do you make sure you've got the right assurance and controls in place? How do you make sure you've got the right monitoring in place and so on? And then the fourth thing is, what teams and how do you organize yourself to take advantage of AI? And
Right. There's
some thinking that needs to be done. So for example, do you implement a center of excellence? Do you leave all the different departments to go ahead and discover and make use of AI themselves? So all of those things need to be thought through by organizations and boards to be able to make effective use of AI going forward.
Well, thank you so much for being a trailblazer, and we're so excited to see what AI does for us in the future.
Thank you.
Dreamforce, one word about an experience that's often indescribable. Let's be honest, sometimes at Dreamforce, there simply are no words. And where words fail, Dreamoji prevails. That's why we're so excited to introduce Dreamoji. Dreamoji is our brand new smartphone keyboard that helps you express yourself through fun and fabulous Salesforce-inspired stickers. Download Dreamoji on the App Store today. Search Dreamoji, that's Dreamoji, and express yourself in a way that only Astro or Kodi can. Coming soon for Android.
John Fremont is the go-to-market lead for AI at Accenture in North America. Previously, the chief revenue officer and a managing partner at Chaotic Moon, acquired by Accenture in mid-2015, and the global head of digital product creation for Accenture, Fremont has been in the AI space for years, driving clients and partners to understand the impact and complexity of the impending transformation. I chatted with John in Washington, D.C. at our Salesforce World Tour.
Hi, I'm Marissa Kranis, and I'm here with John Fremont, the AI go-to-market lead for Accenture. Thanks so much for joining me.
You bet.
So we're going to go in depth about a lot of these different elements about AI. And first of all, I want to know, how do we expect business strategy to change the next 5 years because of AI?
Business strategy, I think, is going to stay quite consistent in the sense of create more efficiency, make more profit, those sorts of things. And I think we're going to see a change in, we saw a big wave and everybody needs to get digital. Yes, well, what does digital mean, right? Ultimately, digital allows for a lot more data collection. And once we collect all this data, we've got a lot of a knowledge base that we can start to extrapolate a lot of interesting outcomes. The business strategy really needs to focus on taking the data that they have within their operations, within their employee set, within their consumer base, whatever it might be, and being able to apply that data in an intelligent fashion on the go forward, applying really advanced technologies in a unique way that can add to the value proposition of their own business. And again, it's not going to be a one size fits all. Every business has its own use cases, its own problems, its own challenges. And I think that that in its narrow set will have to have a general AI across. And it's really about creating the right ontology to be able to take that data set and do something valuable with it. And that strategy has to happen from the top down. It cannot happen in the little corners of the engineering rooms and the HR department. How do we create a better vacation strategy, right? It's got to really start from the top down, from the board level to the CEO, to all the C-suite, down into the organization. And that's how the strategy has to change. And if it doesn't change that way and doesn't have a unification horizontally across it, people will see a lot of challenges.
So that's interesting. A lot of innovation does come from the bottom up if people are too busy at the top. How is AI going to change that? How is that going to be part of the solution to having the top work with AI to have everyone within the company innovate?
I think you're right. There still will be a bottom-up innovation in a lot of corners because AI is not one singular silver bullet. There's not one piece of technology out there that has solved artificial intelligence. It's just not, doesn't exist, right? The problem with a bottom-up strategy in this environment as we enter this fourth industrial revolution, you're going to have a challenge because the choices you make at the bottom can sometimes hamstring you. If you invest in a piece of technology that is hyper-proprietary and not open, as you advance that in, within the organization and try to create a horizontal, you'll find out that someone over on the other side of the organization went bottom-up with some other proprietary piece of technology. And then you've got a whole mess of technology that you have to try to unwind. And so the investments you made out of the gate, you're going to have to reinvest and reinvent. And certainly that's going to happen on every scenario. But that's why the top-down strategy is so vital at this point in time. It's about creating the right environment so that the bottom-up decisions are tying into a global strategy.
So how is AI in general going to help innovation then?
Well, obviously, if done right, you're capturing knowledge and taking that knowledge and applying it in a useful way. And I've seen something really interesting happen in the oil and gas industry over the last 5 to 6 years, where we had the crisis in 79,
right,
that then after 1980, there was a decade of just decimation in that industry. And what happens now is a really interesting sort of change because you've got this gap where nobody was really going into energy for about a decade in droves. And then oil recovered and people started to go back into it. And now you've got a workforce that's aging and leaving. And you have a big knowledge gap that's happening faster than anybody knows what to do with. So how can you utilize AI to capture that outgoing knowledge, that tribal knowledge that is only accessible in the minds of these workers that have given their lives over to these businesses? So how do you capture that and then apply that into an infrastructure that can then take it and then exponentially grow with it? And then the younger generation can learn from it and advance and continue to pour into that knowledge base as we find new things down the road.
So we're talking a lot about employees, but how is AI going to actually help drive superior customer experiences?
I think with the customers, it's around data. And the more as we as customers give our data over to innovative companies, those innovative companies will start to know us better. And what's better than my buying habits, my consumer habits being seamless in my life and having consumers know me or having businesses know me as a consumer and having that very personalized experience. And that is where I think AI is really going to shine. It's not going to take out the human element. I think we still all crave that human component, but I think there's a lot of advancements, and I've been really excited to see what Salesforce has been doing with a lot of these sort of end-to-end touch points where you can take things where customers are living out here and then take that data and then have it and utilize that data in a way that maximizes efficiency and also personalization so that you know your consumers better. There's a lot of companies doing that out there in the marketplace really, really well, and I think we'll see a marriage of these two sort of bottom-up big infrastructure plays where you're buying pieces of technology and all these touch points. I think what's interesting is we've got this plethora of touch points. You may choose Twitter as your outlet. I might choose Facebook, SMS, someone else, right? Doesn't know. But the idea for consumers, that's not going to change. They're going to continue to want to be met where they are.
So I think that that's actually very interesting is that, yes, to create efficiency, if I'm asking a question on Twitter or on Facebook Messenger, oftentimes we do see these companies reply with a bot or SMS, and they are automatically giving us that kind of limited information. Let's find the efficiencies here. But at a certain point, again, we do want that human touch. We don't want to have to live through a bot our entire experience.
Well, that's right. And there's a great company actually down in Austin, Texas,
oh, yes?
Where I'm from, called Conversable. And Conversable has solved this problem that you just described. Whereas having some automation around sort of carving through the decisions that need to happen in a conversational environment, in a digital sort of engagement, eventually there's going to be a human handoff. And there has
right.
to be an advanced piece of technology back there that can sort of help understand where the consumer is, that you're not just getting locked into this really thin bot experience, but having an actual conversation. And once that conversation gets to the point where the user desires a more human experience, you can quickly hand off to that. And I think there's a lot of different applications that are working on that right now. And I think Conversable is one of the ones that are definitely the leaders. And Salesforce obviously has a wonderful infrastructure in place to take that knowledge base and then pull it in and then do something real valuable with it.
Yeah, so that's both affecting the customer experience. Mm-hmm. But again, that goes back to affecting the employee experience.
That's right.
How are we going to be using AI to make our employees more productive? I mean, you started with it as giving them the right information, the knowledge base, but can you go a little bit more in depth?
A lot of these very large organizations, like we already talked about, have created these fiefdoms of technology. And in HR, I got to log into my HR system to check on my retirement, my time off, what it is. And then I have to go into my portal to manage my sales with Salesforce. And then I have to exit Salesforce and go somewhere else to some other system. It depends on what level of worker, but the larger the organization, the more tools that they have done. I think we'll see, because there's a lot of really, really innovative companies, very large scale companies doing some very innovative things where they're abstracting away from all of these systems to be able to have them leverage data and then create a seamless user experience for the employees. A couple of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, we were always on the forefront of talking about the convergence of good design is not just consumer. It has to happen in the enterprise. And that's really just good user experience. The expectations of people and their experience with digital can't be like this on the consumer side. And then you go to work and it's terrible and your efficiencies go down because what happens is you create all these shadow IT. People start using outside technologies that aren't secure and you're trading information. So I think we'll see AI really create enormous efficiencies and advancements within the enterprise by taking all of these things, knitting them together, and creating a seamless knowledge base that workers can draw from and put into.
Yes, and so how are these companies going to ensure that their employees are getting the correct education? And how are we going to be able to be trained to make sure that we are utilizing AI properly within our companies?
Well, I think that's going to be different, and it's going to be a case-by-case basis with each industry. And I certainly don't have an answer on that definitively. If I did, I think I could probably make a lot of money. It's an interesting question. And as I was speaking about earlier, I think as we advance a lot of these systems, and this may be farther down the road, but I think we need to focus on how do we collaborate as people. And I think when we get people together collaborating and focusing on educating ways that we can be more social, more personable, and be more human together, those are the places where I think investment around education would be really, really valuable because we just don't know. And I think it's a really big, valuable thing that AI is taking away some of these menial jobs. Having a job in a factory, though a job, is great. How can companies invest in those people to have them bring out some of the creativity that is just innate to being human, irregardless of how educated you are? The idea that we're taking away factory work from humans, I think, is not a bad thing. It's about what we do with those people and how we invest in that right now, I think, is the most important question. It's going to be different for each industry.
Yeah, so you do see AI as it can be utilized as an equalizer.
That's right.
And as a way to create equality across nationally and globally.
Mm-hmm.
That's really exciting.
I think so.
I hope so. Thank you so much for being with me here, John, and for all of your great insights.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Trailblazers, you're probably already planning your daily Dreamforce agendas and dinners, but what you might not have planned is how you'll make the most of those airplane mode hours during your flight to San Francisco. That's where the Dreamforce Jetpack can help. We've pulled together the 10 essential downloads you need to get prepped for Dreamforce, from playlists to packing lists to where to go to unwind during your downtime. Go to sfdc.co/jetpack2017 to get your jetpack now. That's sfdc.co/jetpack2017.
Sarah Arney, Senior Manager of Data Science at Salesforce, leads teams building AI-powered applications across the Salesforce platform. Prior to Salesforce, she led the healthcare and life sciences and federal teams at Pivotal. Nick Johnson, the Salesforce thought leadership lead for AI, discussed the future of innovation with Sarah.
Sarah, how do you expect artificial intelligence is going to change business strategy over the course of the next 5 years?
So I think we've already seen a huge shift in how companies are thinking through the process of introducing AI, everything that's involved from IT strategy to the actual business. And I think generally when I've been working in this space, it seems that we have prioritization of use cases or alignment behind what serves the business best. I think largely has to do with availability of resources, but as you have more resources available, you're actually able to go unit by unit and really understand once the data is together in one location, how you can execute each of their use cases and really empower individuals to do what's right to make their processes easier.
I see. And do you anticipate that artificial intelligence is going to impact on the way companies organize themselves and the organizational structures they use?
So that's actually really interesting because I think I've, in terms of where data science should sit, seen a lot of different structures. I've seen centralized data science groups. I've seen ones that are embedded within the different organizations, and I've seen ones that are in these kind of business unit IT sections. And I don't want to be prescriptive and say that there's going to be one correct way of doing this, nor do I think that even at a size level, if you could assume that a smaller company could have a centralized team and a larger might not. I think it's actually much more dependent on what a particular industry has for the various types of work that it does. So for example, manufacturing industry as opposed to maybe a company that does services. But beyond that, I think it's also the structure of the company itself that is important.
How do you see artificial intelligence helping companies to become more innovative?
That one's easy. AI is innovation at its essence. It's trying to understand how do we do things in a different way that might improve outcomes or reduce costs or, I mean, often it's that you want to increase revenue as well. What's fascinating in terms of innovation is I think how I see it applied in many different industries. You know, in agriculture, we've seen trying to understand how you can have the different crops grow and when to kind of allow it to lay fallow for a while and to try and understand how data can serve that actually. So I think what's fascinating is that interface of technology with the AI.
And how about the customer experience? So do you see artificial intelligence having a capacity to improve that experience? If so, how will it change?
In general, it should be an improvement, otherwise you would want to roll it out. I have seen instances actually where decisions have been made that maybe serve the business in terms of efficiencies and might lead to a negative outcome. I think we've probably all seen instances of businesses that adopt AI and it leads to, for example, the so-called news bubble or maybe trying to see things that are drawing you into a site but not necessarily serving you as the customer in terms of the types of growth that you might want to see or how you want to interact with other individuals, if it's a social network, for example. So it can have a largely positive impact in terms of efficiencies, but it can also then turn into a largely negative impact if it's not well controlled and studied along the way in terms of how the customer is reacting to an evolving AI, really.
And I guess one of the things that we're seeing is artificial intelligence increasingly interfacing directly with a customer. There seem to potentially be some risks of that happening, as well as some benefits. Could you take us through what you think those may be?
So I think on the benefit side, it probably has to do with efficiency. So if I go in and I ask a question, if I can get that answer immediately, I'm going to be pretty happy. Mm-hmm. And that could be because there are more bots available for me to get my answer quickly. And hopefully over time, they actually understand what it is that I'm asking. On kind of the negative side, we're losing that human touch. And I think there's probably no way to really estimate which populations will care, or was it in a healthcare setting? I'll never be willing to work with a bot, or is it even in just a call center that I would like to interact with someone? So I think that side, it'll be a little unclear for now whether it'll be all positive.
And what about within a company? So what applications is artificial intelligence going to have that might help augment an employee, increase their productivity, make them better at what they do?
Yeah. You know, today we were seeing everything with lead scoring, for example, how you're able to actually help out someone who's doing sales calls to prioritize their time and their effort. Nobody wants a negative outcome on a phone call. So if we can help you, it's more positive in that we're assisting you with information that's relevant, so you don't ask questions that might frustrate your customer. So it benefits everyone in terms of an experience. It should make their lives easier. We also saw the services cloud example, of course, where they're, you know, trying to come up with a response faster to get through their work, but also, again, to avoid having this frustrated customer on the other end. I mean, nobody enjoys that experience.
Given artificial intelligence has a high probability of quite deeply impacting on an employee's job and how they do work and how they interact with others around the company, do you think that that means that education should change? Should training change for those employees? And if so, how?
Yes, so certainly education is always critical. I think trailblazers will figure out kind of how to learn what's available to them. I would really like to see employees going a step further and maybe pivoting from kind of being told that this is what is available to you, thinking, what would I want? We don't generally learn how to challenge. Maybe in grad school, I was taught that I must challenge everything and get to the bottom of something until really nobody in the world cares more about it than I do. But I think if people start thinking of their jobs as that, as how do I actually figure out how to make this better and treat AI as something that serves me, could I then actually also have a voice and a way to turn it into something that works for me?
And maybe coming at that from the other side, how can companies best roll out artificial intelligence and communicate it with their employees in such a way that those employees do feel empowered as opposed to fearful for the future?
Again, I feel like I can't give a strategy that is going to be globally applicable. I think we've discussed kind of in the factory setting what that means versus the service setting, I think, where it has a completely different impact. Efficiencies can lead to a reduction in workforce, but realistically, if an employee can play an active role and an organization can think about it in that way, then there really is kind of no room to lose an employee if it's going to improve the overall operations.
And what particular functions or particular job roles do you think are going to be most disrupted by AI over the course of the next 5 to 10 years?
So disrupted in terms of augmenting, I think anything that's very customer-facing mm-hmm. will see quick disruption, because making our lives easier when working and understanding the context. I often think of examples that I've had in the past, and even today when we're looking at Service Cloud, if I know the context of an individual and their case, I would love to have that available to me to be able to handle this as efficiently as possible. I think in other areas, there's a bit of a struggle often around whether it is a legislative reason that you can't use AI, or in some instances because there is a need to have a human in the loop. To make a decision that there'll be less disruption. And that might be really in financial services. Sometimes it's just not possible in insurance companies, for example. So even though those are largely in that space, it might take a little longer to figure out how we can navigate what's possible and then what we can actually do legally.
And the final question is about equality. And maybe it's one of the things that is discussed somewhat less, but how do you see artificial intelligence and equality interacting? What do you think are some of the interesting points to make on that score?
So I think anything related to equality or biases, I think it saddens me that it's addressed kind of last. I feel like it should be part of every discussion. The ethics around what mm-hmm. we're doing should be part of any discussion. I've had so many conversations, I even did a talk about this once. Certainly in terms of including a lot of different perspectives, I think if we think about AI maybe as those who build methods coming traditionally from a certain background, that of course can be very detrimental, because if an individual sort of codes in his or her own biases, that can be a problem. There's actually an interesting talk about this, a TED talk by Andreas Ekstrom, I think is his name, about kind of positive view of biases and that it can lead to a good outcome, but it can also lead to a really negative outcome if you can't kind of eliminate it in some ways. And so by having many different individuals with many different backgrounds, and that can be kind of a business-related context, or of course just diversity and ethnicity and gender, that will actually allow those biases to be sort of diluted by sort of introducing all perspectives and making sure they're all represented in what's being done.
And if we are able to do that and reduce the bias inherent in AI algorithms themselves, do you see there being any positive impacts on equality more broadly as a result of more use of AI?
Yes, that's interesting because I've been on teams where people come from such different backgrounds, and the more you educate people, the more they really think about how to bring these things to different places. I know in graduate school, there was a professor that worked on bringing medicine to India on an iPhone and like figuring out how to do diagnoses in the field, and so really how it can benefit areas where you're not able to traditionally get access to healthcare. And again, it has to do with bringing in people from many different backgrounds and viewpoints and empowering them to learn how to build these types of techniques themselves.
Looking for a way to express your excitement for Dreamforce to your social media followers? With our new Twibbon site, you'll be able to add custom Dreamforce overlays to your Facebook, Twitter, and Success Community profile photos, and a whole lot more. Head to dreamforce.twibbon.com today to get in on the fun. That's dreamforce.twibbon.com. Thank you again for joining us on Blazing Trails. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And keep up with exclusive content from amazing trailblazers.